All right, so today's portion is Shoftim, and excuse me one second. And what I'm going to start out with is taken from the lectures I gave on the Messianic prophecies at the public library. So those who were there for that, I apologize. Some of this will be repeated information. And we're going to start with something in today's Torah portion, Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 and 19. And this is a promise that God is giving for the children of Israel through Moses. He says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, a prophet like Moses, from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him, and whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. And the question is this a messianic prophecy? What is God talking about here through Moses? Does it just mean that God's going to raise up Joshua to follow Moses? Does it just mean that there's going to be an office of prophet, that there'll always be a prophet in Israel to guide the people? Is it awaiting the prophet with a capital P, the Messiah, in other words? And it's not about Joshua. It's not talking about Joshua. It says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses. Okay? And what does it say about Joshua? It says, so the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Make him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and all the congregation, and you shall commission him in their sight. You shall invest him with some of your authority, that all the congregation of the people of Israel may obey. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the people of Israel with him, the whole congregation. This is not talking about Deuteronomy 18, 18, 19. The prophet like Moses is not talking about Joshua. Moses spoke to the Lord, in the Hebrew it says, mouth to mouth, right? Face to face, we would say in the colloquial English. And Joshua had to hear from the priest, right? Joshua had to hear from God through Eleazar the priest. This prophet is not Joshua. Numbers 12, 6 through 8. And he said, hear my words, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision, I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses, he is faithful in all my house. When I speak, with him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? There's something special about Moses' relationship with God. He's right there in the midst of God, in the midst of God's presence, hearing, speaking with God as a man to his friend, and delivering the words of the Lord. Joshua does not fit that description. In addition, we know it's not Joshua. In fact, we know it's not the other prophets because of how the Torah ends. The Torah ends, Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses. This is talking about the death of Moses. Okay? And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. Did you catch that? There has not arisen since a prophet like Moses. The prophet hasn't come yet, in other words. And this is most likely, the last couple chapters of Deuteronomy here, are most likely a later addition to the Torah from the time of the prophets. There's a couple hints here to that. For example, Deuteronomy 33:1. Moses, the man of God. Okay, calls Moses the man of God. That's not used in the rest of Torah. In the rest of Torah, it's Moses, the servant of the Lord. We don't see man of God until we see the prophetic writings. For example, 1 Chronicles 23:14, written later, of course, talking back about Moses. Moses, the man of God. Okay? But in the Torah, like in Exodus 14:31, Moses, his servant. Numbers 12:7, Moses, my servant. Okay, so we have wording here that's from a later time period. And we have 34:10, and there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses. If this was written the day after Moses died, what's the big deal? There hasn't yet arisen a prophet like Moses. Well, it's just, you know, give God a little time. It's just the next day. This is, there's obviously some space here between what we have in most of Deuteronomy in these last couple chapters. We still haven't gotten a prophet, in other words. Okay? Yeshua says in Luke 24:44 that Moses and the prophets and the Psalms all point to him. Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms all point to him. That seems to indicate the threefold division of the Tanakh, the threefold division of the Torah that we still have to this day. I'm sorry, not the Torah, the threefold division of the Old Testament that we still have to this day in Judaism. The same books are in the Christian Old Testament as in the Jewish Tanakh. Same books. Different order, though, for the most part, for a large part. In Judaism, we separate it into three distinctions. The Torah, the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The prophets, the Nevi'im, right, like Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, the 12 so-called minor prophets and so forth. And the Ketuvim, the writings, the Psalms, Ecclesiastes, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and so forth, Ruth. So we have the threefold division of the Old Testament, of the Tanakh. In fact, the word Tanakh comes from taking the first letter of Torah, the books of Moses, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim, and it becomes Tanakh. Okay? And so when Messiah, when Yeshua says in Luke, Moses, I think Torah, when Moses, the prophets, Nevi'im, and the Psalms is the biggest book in the writings, right? So it represents the whole book of the writings. These three fold divisions of the Bible of that day, because there was no New Testament yet, there was no Brit Chadash yet. The Bible, look for me here in the Torah, look for me here in the prophets, look for me here in the writings. And we have at the end of each of those writings a looking forward to a messianic figure. Okay? So we have in today's reading, Deuteronomy 18, one like Moses will arise. But what do we have at the end of the Torah? At the very end of the Torah we have the prophet hasn't come yet. And the next book, Joshua, starts the book of the prophets. And God says to Joshua, meditate on the law day and night. Meditate on the Torah day and night. In other words, the prophet still hasn't come. And this is, let me tell you how I look at the Bible, first of all. Not just as the original writers being inspired, but also those who collected and redacted and put together the books of the Bible is also being inspired. And we have patterns, and we have just an anointing on the order of the books and the way it's put together. So the end of the Torah, look for the prophet. The prophet hasn't come yet. Next book, the new section, the prophets. Study, meditate. The prophet's not here yet. Focus in on the Torah. Get that Torah deep down inside you. Okay? And how does the prophets end? The prophets end with Malachi. Behold, Malachi 3, 22 and 24, in the Hebrew numbering, in the English numbering, it's Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. So the prophets ends also with a looking forward to a messianic figure. Elijah is the forerunner of the Messiah. The prophets end with Malachi saying, keep looking for the Messiah. Keep looking for the Messiah. He's not here yet. And how does the next section start? How does the Ketuvim, the writing, start? Psalm 1. Meditate on the Torah day and night, right? Just like Joshua starts out, God telling Joshua, meditate on my Torah day and night. And then what Jonathan read today, when you set up a king before you, he is to not let that, every day he's to meditate on that Torah, okay? And so the writings then end with 2 Chronicles with the call to rebuild the temple. And we know from Zechariah 6, it's the messianic figure that will rebuild the temple. So all three sections of the Old Testament in the Jewish order point forward to a messianic figure that will come. And we see also in the New Testament, the Brit Chadasha, people are still looking for the prophet. They even asked John, Yochanan the immerser, John the Baptist, in John 1:21, they say, are you the prophet? You know, they're still looking. Where's the prophet? So this is not just setting up the order of the of a class of prophets. This is not just saying, okay, Joshua's going to take over for you, Moses, because we're looking forward. In each of those, in the Torah, the writings, the prophets, we're still looking for him. In the Brit Chadasha, before Yeshua is revealed to the people, they're still looking for the prophet. And so, what is going on here? What is going on here in Deuteronomy 18 and 19, the prophet like Moses? First, I'd like to jump back to Numbers 12 again. Numbers 12, 6 through 8. And he said, hear my words. Forgive me, this is what I read earlier, but let me read it again. Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Deuteronomy, going back to Deuteronomy now, today's portion. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 15. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering. Anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you are about to dispossess listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. The people have a thirst for knowledge. What is going on in the spiritual realm? What's going to go on in the future? What's going on in the secret things? This thirst for knowledge. And God is saying, here, because right after this it goes into the prophet like Moses. No, don't follow the soothsayers. Don't follow the fortune tellers. You are to get your information from one who's been in the presence of God, received mouth to mouth from God, received directly and clearly, not in riddles, the direction of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord, and then comes down the mountain, so to speak, and delivers it to you. From God's presence, they come down with the information. That's where you are to get your wisdom. Moses was like that. Look for the prophet, with a capital P, that will also be like Moses, in the presence of God, coming down to deliver the words of the Lord. John 3, 31 through 36. This is Yochanan the Immerser again, John the Baptist. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. So look here, verse 32, he bears witness to what he has seen and heard. Moses goes up. He sees the form of God, so to speak. He hears directly from God. He comes down the mountain with the words of God. Yeshua fits that pattern and enlarges that pattern. Right? It's not just a prophet anymore, but God himself making himself known, right? Revealing that word. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard. Okay, this is not a dream. Yeshua didn't have a dream. Yeshua didn't hear in riddles. Yeshua experienced and was part of the glory of God and comes down with the message. Okay, he bears witness to what he has seen and he heard. As in Numbers 12:8, talking about Moses, with him I speak mouth to mouth. Yeshua utters the words of God that we must listen to. Okay, verse 34, for he whom God has sent utters the words of God. Matthew 17:1-5, this is the Mount of Transfiguration story. Okay, Yeshua goes up on the mountain and is transfigured, and there's Elijah and Moses with him. And it says this, and after 6 days, Yeshua took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Yeshua, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And what is the command to Israel through Moses when the prophet arrives? To listen to him. Okay, God is setting his seal. This is the one you are to listen to. This is the one that's going to reveal my word, my wisdom, my character. Okay, like Moses, but even greater than Moses, of course. Okay, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command. Okay, this is not a soothsayer. This is not a fortune teller. This is one who has experienced God, received from God, and brings those words to us. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yeshua is the one that comes down, reveals to us God, reveals to us God's heart. Genesis 28, we have the story of Jacob having the vision of the ladder with the angels ascending and descending. And Jacob says at the end, "Surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." He was in awe. "I have been in touch with heaven through this ladder. This is the very gate of heaven." There was some fear. There was some trembling. And in John 1, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Yeshua saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me? I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Yeshua answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Yeshua is the gateway to heaven. Yeshua is the prophet come down from God and reveal to us God. Hebrews tells us he's the radiance of the glory of God. I don't try to figure out the relationship between the Father and the Son and how it is. That's above anybody. But what I know is this: Yeshua is God himself. He's the radiance of the glory of God, making God known to us. And we need to be like Jacob with a little bit of fear and trembling. We need to be like Nathanael. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." A little awe at the idea that heaven is now open to us through Yeshua. A little awe, a little fear that that now God is revealed to us again, as he was in the days of Moses, even more so in the days of Messiah. And what does he come down? What message does he come down with? The God revealed to us in Yeshua our Messiah comes down, and what is the message? Going back to the book of John, John 1:32, "And Yochanan, John the Immerser, bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.'" If you go back to Genesis 8, of course, with Noah, verses 10 and 11, Noah, it's after the rain, they're still on the ark, is it safe to go out? "Noah waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth." When the Spirit descends on Yeshua, why did it not descend as a fierce lion? Why not as a war horse? Here's the warrior, here's the conqueror. Descends as a dove. Descends in the form of the animal that said to Noah, "The waters are subsiding. The evil is subsiding." You know, it's if you look at Genesis 8, there's some parallel in the language between that and Genesis 1. It's a new creation. It's a time of new creation. There's a new covenant, right? And we see here in Yeshua, the Spirit descends on him like a dove. The waters are subsiding. Yeshua comes with a message of peace. He comes comes with a message of peace. Isaiah 61. This is terminology that refers back to, in the Torah, the idea of the year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee was when the debts were canceled, right? When things were made new, the captives were set free, and so forth. And Isaiah prophesies, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." And we read this earlier during the Torah service from the Brit Hadashah, Luke 4, 16 through 19. Yeshua goes into the synagogue, as was his custom. He's given the scroll of Isaiah. He's to read the Haftorah portion, whether it was, you know, an assigned yearly cycle or not, we don't know. But we see there the custom, like we have in synagogues to this day, reading from the prophets. Luke 4, 16 through 19. "And Yeshua came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" What does he leave out? It's capsulized a little bit, right? But one thing that's mentioned in Isaiah 61 that Yeshua doesn't mention here is verse 2, the second part of verse 2, "the day of vengeance of our God." Yeshua doesn't come with a message of vengeance. He's reading Isaiah 61. What does he focus on? He focuses on the freedom for the captives. And may you receive that from him, the one from God, the prophet from God coming down with the message of God. And what is the message? That the captives are set free. That those who are oppressed are set free, that those who need healing receive healing. This is the kingdom of God that we have through the prophet. And we need to take these words seriously. We listen so much and so often to the negative voices, don't we? We listen to what mom and dad said that they shouldn't have said. I wish I would have had dogs instead of kids, you know? We listen to all kinds of crazy stuff, and it gets locked in our brain. Okay? You're a nerd. You're a this. You're a that. And we get teased in high school, and it sticks with us for years and years, or we get rejected for whatever reason, and it sticks with us for years and years, and we tremble at those words instead of the words of the prophet. Instead of the words of the prophet with a capital P, the one who was in the presence of the Father, the one who was the wisdom of Father, the Word was with God and the Word was God, comes down into our sphere and proclaims to you a message, and all you can remember is that mom and dad wanted dogs instead of kids. What about what the prophet said? What about fearing and trembling at the words of the prophet the way that Jacob did when he saw the angels ascending and descending? This is the gate of heaven. Yeshua said, "You will see angels ascending and descending on me, on the Son of Man." What does he mean? He's referring back to what Jacob experienced. I am the gateway to heaven. I am the prophet. Listen to me. What do I tell you? I tell you in Matthew 6, Yeshua tells us, don't be anxious. We're so anxious because the credit card company's telling us this. And our checkbook's telling us that. And we tremble at that. Instead of that, what the prophet says, don't be anxious, right? We worry. What does the prophet tell us? What does Yeshua tell us? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we focus on, no one comes to the Father except through me. That's a good thing to focus on. We need to make sure that when we approach the Father, it's through Yeshua, because only in him do we have forgiveness. Only he came down to reveal the word of God. Okay? But we forget about the first verse. The first part of the verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You have the way, you have the truth, you have the life. You have it. And we tremble in fear before the enemy instead of trembling at the word of the prophet. I am the way, you have the way. You have the truth, you have the life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Yeshua read from Isaiah 61 and did not say anything about the second part of verse 2 about the day of vengeance, because that wasn't his role at that time. His role was a message of peace. His role was the dove. Right? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn you, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Yeshua says in Luke 4, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The message is this: if we receive the one that God has sent, if we receive him, we have so much. Take his word seriously. It's a word of peace. It's a word of love. It's a word of encouragement. It's a word of new life. He's not here to condemn. He's here to bless. He's not here to condemn. He's here to forgive. He's here to heal. He's here to heal. I'm going to pray for you. And if this is maybe a little silly to you, that's okay, you don't have to. But if you feel so inclined, if you want to stretch your hand out as a sign of receiving the blessing of the Lord as I pray for you, feel free to do that. Lord God, we tremble at your word because your word is truth, Lord God. Even if every man were to speak something and you were to speak something else, what you say is the truth, and what every man says would be a lie, because you are truth. And the truth is that you came down from heaven to reveal to us the glory of God and the message of God. And the message of God is one of peace and blessing for these people here, and for myself, and for this world. Your message is one of salvation. You have salvation if you put your trust in Messiah Yeshua, his death, his resurrection for us. His message is one of peace. Receive his peace. His message is one of blessing. Receive his blessing, physical blessing, financial blessing, spiritual blessing. Receive it in Yeshua's name. Receive it. This is the prophet. Tremble before his word, because his word is truth. His word is truth. Lord, we receive your blessing. Lord, we tremble at your word. We take your word seriously. You are the prophet, Lord God, and we thank you for revealing to us the Father. We thank you that you revealed to us the heart of the Father, and what we learn is that the heart of the Father and the mind of the Father is on us. You are in heaven thinking about us, and that is amazing to us. Lord God, let us have the power of that revelation. Transform our lives. Transform our lives. May we give the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, free reign in our lives. May we be obedient to your guidance, obedient to your word. And may we receive the full blessing. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. If we could have somebody Get the kids, please.